the coastal monitoring program monitoring that is derived in many ways from both fisheries agencies, CFW and NIMS, Bolton 180, if you're familiar with the document that describes the coastal monitoring program and the status of that. And I just didn't honestly have enough time to prepare as much as I'd like to say about it, but I wanted to share a couple things that I do know that are going on. And several of you, I'm sure, are at least as knowledgeable or more, and perhaps way more so than I, and so please help support this dialogue. But in my view, and I just put up a map, it's not a very good one, of a portion of the state, and really trying to highlight where the Eel River fits in with regard to statewide monitoring of salmon and steelhead, as we have 9 or 10 listed ESUs or DPS statewide. 3 of them are in the Eel River, and you know, so it's a very important watershed to have monitoring support and monitoring activities. I think we all would agree that there's probably not enough monitoring going on. I know several proposals from the past that have been submitted seeking funding for monitoring in our watershed, and they've been successful. It's one of the few watersheds that doesn't have a life cycle monitoring station being operated annually, like other watersheds or basins do. And so it's really important, I think, for our group to, first of all, understand the context within which we're all battling for funding to support our monitoring programs, and then understand sort of more broadly what's going on. Again, it's a long subject. We could spend a lot of time talking about it, and we're not going to today, but I just wanted to share a couple things. So my understanding is that if NIMS and or CFW had their way, we would have at least one life cycle monitoring station and monitoring programs within each diversity strata within each ESU. Is that approximately correct? And okay. And so in the Eel, there are how many diversity strata?
Well, I think there's 2 for each species. Each of the listed species has their own diversity strata. So basically 2 in the Eel for each species.
Hi, Josh. There's a chair up there by Charlie if you wanted to step in. Josh Bull from NIMS and Rosalie. Yeah, so I think just to summarize, there is a lot more need for monitoring than we're able to do in this watershed. And you'll see today the bits and pieces of monitoring that's ongoing. This is the first year that we've had 2 Ditson operations going on, which is, you know, it was very exciting, I think, for many that have wanted to see that kind of population level monitoring for many years. But really, it's just a start. And I thank Josh in particular, and NIMS and CFW for providing cameras and support and staff for those operations. We need to expand our operations within the Eel River watershed to better understand the status of our populations. In that regard, we're just starting out, we being Caltrout and Trout Unlimited and the Nature Conservancy, who work together on many issues throughout the state, and particularly the North Coast region, working on putting together a more up-to-date picture on monitoring programs throughout the state. And when I say throughout the state, I'm talking about coastal monitoring, so not Central Valley. So Matt and I have been working together with our other NGO coalition groups to, we went through the FRGP proposals that have been submitted over the last roughly decade and mined from that all the different applicants who have been seeking funding for monitoring, and we've kind of screen that down to the ones that are ongoing that have a program that has capacity to conduct the monitoring, and this is what we've come up with, and this is not complete by any means. This is sort of midway through this effort that we're trying to coordinate and help push forward. But this is, as you can see, throughout the state of California, the ongoing monitoring programs, and the funding that is needed annually. And so $12 million at least, almost $13 million, just to support the existing monitoring programs, which I think many would agree aren't even adequate for the needs to document the species status as they are now. And so, that, and I think from FRGP through the Pacific States Saltwater Recovery Fund, there's about $1.5 million, and there are other funding sources that agencies use, but we're far away from having 12 to 13 or $15 million allocated annually for monitoring. We're just not there. And so as a consequence, I know that this year, a couple of very important long-term monitoring programs are slated to lose funding or don't have funding aligned. The Scott Creek watershed down the Santa Cruz coast that is monitoring one of the few conservation hatchery operations, the Kingfisher Flat Hatchery operation. They're going to lose their monitoring, and they have, I think, probably a couple decades of monitoring data, and so they don't have funding even for this fall operations. So they're, boom, going to get cut off unless something happens between now and then. I think the Humboldt Bay Freshwater Creek, what's the status of funding for freshwater? I thought it was slated to cease soon, if not this year, then next year.
I don't know.
That's my understanding.
And then the Noyo River operation on the Mendocino coast also is losing its funding. So it's kind of dire, in my view. The status of funding available for these really critically important watershed monitoring programs. The other thing that, you know, a lot of you have a history of working in these programs coming up through the stewardship programs and so forth, and I don't personally, but having been involved recently with our Vidson operation and seeing the CCC crew and others involved in that, I see those programs as a training grounds for the next generations of technically capable scientists that are going to carry this effort forward. So to me, they're really super important, and yet we're sort of going in the opposite direction in terms of funding availability. So
why is that?
I have my own personal opinion. Does anybody else want to take a shot, Alan, or Jeffrey, or Matt, or Josh?
I
weigh in on your perspective on why that is.
Sure. Pacific Coast Salmon Recovery Fund has a certain amount. You know, that's what funds the habitat restoration work that's occurring in California for salmon steel. Well, one fund source for that. A component of that overall fund is allocated to the monitoring of recovery of these species, and that is not enough money, or that is, as Darren indicated, less than the sum of money that it would take to monitor the California coastline for listed steelhead in Southern California, listed coho from from Santa Cruz to the Oregon border, and so the various entities involved in monitoring have been submitting proposals, developing programs, and unfortunately the state has ended up with years where they've received more good proposals that really meet the outline for Fisheries Bulletin 180. This is what the department and NOAA's approach to monitoring those species. There hasn't been money available. So it's not, it has not been that we have been lacking good projects to fund. It's been the fund level. And so that's the why of it. That's the process, that's the federal salmon recovery funds that come through the state. The state has applied some of its own resources outside of that fund source to monitor fish, and the state is also limited.
I bet you I'm probably a minority in this group so far as my opinion is concerned about the salmon and restoration and recovery. But one of the things that has to happen is there has to be some firm data on just exactly what's out there. And yes, what we're looking at, if these funds are disappearing, is making it very difficult to continue the discussion.
Everything becomes more predictable.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir. Our ability to recover species is based greatly on our ability to apply restoration in a meaningful and prioritized way. There's also not enough, there's also limited money to, do things that are beneficial. Where we conduct that activity and how effective that activity was is understood through these types of monitoring programs. And so they have, it is an aspect of effectively running a monitoring program or effectively running a recovery program is to understand what the species are doing. To delist these species, it's a requirement. We have to understand what these species are doing or
but now you don't have the means to understand.
That's
or you
correct.
Have far less means.
We are limited in our scope of where we understand that very well. Good point. Thank you.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. This has been a struggle for years. It may get worse as we move forward. PCSRF funds are going to be on the chopping block every funding cycle recently with the administration. Luckily, it gets put back in at the 11th hour. But hopefully that funding will at least continue to come through so we have some ability to monitor and do restoration. But yes, this has been a problem for years, and I hope that at some point we'll be able to find some other funding source that would help support these long-term monitoring programs and get new ones online, because it is very critical to what we're doing out there.
Just a comment to follow up on Alan. So the Pacific Coastal Sound Monitoring Recovery Fund is federally legislated to the Pacific states, and the legislation caps at 10% the amount of that fund that can be put toward monitoring. So they're prioritizing restoration actions, and so that's a limitation there, certainly. But the state itself, not to pick on your agency, I think you'd probably agree, it's a struggle even for them to staff and maintain the activities that they're required to. Monitoring would be sort of a luxury, I would assume, under your existing state budgets, and yet it's so fundamental and necessary. Hopefully that can change soon. But
a question, do you think the new administration might help to make that more of a positive thing than just barely breaking?
Right, saying state administration?
Yes. Because they're being pushed pretty hard by the D.C. people right now, and they're reacting to it.
Yeah, I'm up here on the North Coast like you, so I don't know what their focus is, the Gavin Newsom administration, so I don't know. We are going to propose some legislation this year, and we're working with Senator McGuire and his office to try to do that without any hope that it'll go anywhere, but it's sort of starting the process of making it known that we need funding on an annual basis from state legislation that would go to the department to support these programs. So that's at least our effort. And it's a long shot, really. I think in the discussions that I've had with my colleagues internally, it's really challenging to get the legislation to put $15 million toward salmon and steelhead, but we're gonna try. David.
When people submit their BFRG, proposals.
Yeah.
Isn't monitoring a component of that they have to monitor before and after to see, to do? It's kind of like Alan was talking about, do we see recovery from our restoration efforts? But that wouldn't be long term, that would just be focused on that spot, but is it something?
So the different grant programs have different requirements. FRGP, in my understanding, hasn't had a requirement for monitoring. And actually the monitoring component of the program was taken out this year, so you don't apply directly to the competitive grant program. The department and its grant program managers are treating this kind of monitoring differently, I think, last year and this year. Prop 1, the Watershed Restoration Grants Program, or the Prop 1 Watershed Program, I think does have a requirement for monitoring built into it, if I'm not mistaken. They're all sort of different, but those are sort of different than the population level monitoring that this is looking at. When we're considering petitions for listings, how do we answer those questions without this level of monitoring?